The Lord has given us the burden this morning. I'll tell you right up front, it's not for sinners. So if you're not saved today, this message really isn't for you, so you can go back and text message or whatever you're going to do that you're going to do anyway. So, this is for a congregation of the elect or the saints. It's not leaving the sinner out, but once I get into it, you'll understand why. It's just not a message for the sinners. The elect people of God are precious in God's sight. It is a congregation of saints. It's a collection of people from different backgrounds, different personalities, different cultures, different upbringings. We're all so very individual and different. And it's a collection of that. And it's in those realms that the devil still works. So when I say these things, it's certainly not to hit you on the head. It's really an exposure of the enemy. That's the intent that I have. But it's a very serious message. So I would be real thankful if you would prayerfully consider the things the Lord has given us this morning. The Lord had given this message to our home congregation, and in some ways it's very similar, but in some ways it's different. It's His message. It doesn't matter to me if He wants me to rerun it. It doesn't matter. It's all His anyway. I'd like for us to turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew, the 7th chapter and the 18th verse. Very familiar to us. Oh, let's see. Well, I'm sorry. I don't have the right passage here. I'm wanting the one where it's the narrow way. Okay, thank you. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Okay? We already know that there's a way. It's a wide and a broad way. So we're drawing this on the board. The end thereof is eternal torment. This is something we all know. So that's one way we're familiar with. The next one is, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. Okay? So that's our next way. So we'll draw once again a narrow way. I don't know how do you draw heaven. We'll just put eternal life. We all want it. It's narrow, it's constricting. And I've thought of it as there's enough room for Jesus in you. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. It's not a straitjacket. It's just a narrow way. You know, there's just a path that's enough for my Savior and me. It doesn't have room for my baggage. It doesn't have room for my burdens and sorrows a lot of times. It's just got enough room for Jesus and me. And that's comfortable. And that's a blessing, and I'm thankful for that, because Jesus can help me when we have treacherous times and walk over high places and down cliffs and over mountains, but Jesus is there. That's a narrow way. It's a precious way. But I want us to consider there's also another path. In Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Proverbs, the 14th chapter and the 12th verse. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This is the path that will take the elect, the people that we're familiar with, the path that we're on a journey, and I want to demonstrate it like this. I don't feel like it's taken away. The way that seemeth right goes, in a sense, it will make you feel like it's a deception. But, you know, the devil does not wear a badge that says, I'm the deceiver. Nor does he wear a t-shirt that says, I'm here to trip you up. So he will make it seem there is a way that seemeth right. But what was the end of it? The end is death. This is where it'll lead you. It's a sharp detour. And the sadness of it is, sometimes you don't know it till you've drawn your last breath. And it's over with. And it's done. And the sharp detour, you're going to be jilted. You're gypped. When Satan came to Eve, he took on the form of a serpent because it was the most subtle of animals, creatures. The devil does the same thing now. He comes among us subtly, very quietly. Does it make maybe a big ruckus? Does it make a big flamboyant show? Because he's interested in deceiving you. So the exposure of the enemy this morning is, I want to name the characteristics of this deceiver and what he will do to you to make you fooled into thinking you're okay. And I want to do this with humility of heart because I don't want anyone to lose. I don't want anyone to not make it to heaven. But there is a pattern, and it seems to be consistent many times. All right, so we're going to talk about that. If you will go with me to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter and the third verse. I'm going to go ahead and write characteristics. And when I say characteristics, please be open. Open up your heart. Look inside through the Word of God. Not because LaDonna said so, but prayerfully consider this. Now let's go to the first verse. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together into Him, that's still being preached. The Lord is going to come. We're still gathering together. Everything is still flowing. Time is still in essence. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come. Don't be found wanting. That's my desire. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be first. There come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. See how close that is? Sitting in the temple of God. How dare he? But there's a characteristic here that follows the way that seemeth right. They can follow an example to a T. They will talk like a saint. They will walk like a saint. They will dress like a saint. And that is very important to them. And yes, those things are important. But it almost becomes a religion to them. They'll congregate among us. And if you would look at them, they look like us. But they're deceived. They sit in the temple of God. They're in our congregations. But may the enemy be exposed. Following an example to a T should be a conviction of the heart. Not because you feel like it is a doctrine standard that everyone measures up to. And yes, everyone should have that. But there's another characteristic that goes along with it. They don't have any convictions. Let's go to Proverbs, the 21st chapter. Proverbs, the 21st chapter. Brother Dan said it in the prayer this morning. 21 and 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. They're right. They're always right. There's that piece of chocolate. There are no convictions. You know why there's no convictions? Because they're following. There's no spirituality in them at all. They're just following the doctrine, the pattern, the traditions, the history. They can follow it to a T, but they don't have a conviction. Why do you not do this? Why do you not do that? They don't really know. They're too busy following. And it's dangerous because it puts you on this path that will lead to death. No convictions. When's the last time you've had a conviction? Have you asked the Lord for a conviction? Do you appreciate your convictions? Or is it just a straitjacket to you? When the Lord gives you a conviction, do you know why He gives it? He's protecting you. And those convictions are so individual. And they're so perfect for you. That's like a custom-made garment. It fits you. And there's some people who will say, well, we don't need that. The Lord will lead us in that. And you know, the Lord leads us through convictions. Have you asked the Lord for convictions? When's the last time you felt a conviction? You know what I'm finding out? The older I get, the more conviction I have. You know, it's an upward progress. You're responsible for a little bit more. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the Lord's business. And it's precious in His sight. But when there comes a stall and a plateau in your experience, beware of that subtle creature called the devil who's trying to glaze your eyes into thinking, well, those things aren't necessary. You better look into it. There might be a necessary reason for you to do it. And it's a conviction and it's a protection. I appreciate that. I'm so glad for that because it protects me from being tempted. I'm thankful for that. James, the first chapter, has another. This exposes another characteristic of that way that seemeth right. The way that seemeth right are in the end is the way of death. Please understand what I'm saying. It will not get you to heaven. The devil will make sure it feels like an upward progression, but it will not get you to heaven. Okay, James 1 and 23. For if any man or any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Have you ever heard it said? That was a good message. I knew who that was for. That's that spirit. I'm exposing it. It's the devil. Did you not consider for a moment that message was for you? That's the glazing of the eyes. That's that comfort zone the enemy is very happy for you to be in and for you to think, That was for somebody else. No, 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 no. When the Spirit of the Lord brings a message, the fervent heart should be sitting there saying, what can I get out of this message? You can get something out of every message. I'm determined. Even if it is you're saved and it is for a sinner, there's something in the Word of God that's going to bless you. That when you come to meeting with that mindset that I'm already, so that's the other thing, they're not teachable. They hear it, but it wasn't for them anyway. Have you ever gone into a classroom of children that knew it all? You don't get very far with them either. A student that knows it all, they know it all. And do you know we as elect saints of God could come in to the congregations and feel like we know it all? And the Lord is saying, I have something for you here. Maybe it will result in a conviction that we're so afraid of. And when we ignore these warning signs, when we ignore them, do you know what we're really building? We're building among the congregations for ourselves a shrine of religion. That's all it is. There's nothing spiritual. There's nothing warm in it. It's all cold. And yet we worship it. And you know what? It's really worshiping yourself. Because God is not in that. And the Lord wants to expose the enemy this morning, not through words of hurt, words of discouragement. I just want to let us be aware the Lord has something for us. He wants to draw us to himself. That more, there's more of Jesus in me. And less of myself, more of God, less of me. When I am weak, when I am no longer feeling my strength anymore, that I can recognize God's strength. That's what he's desiring. That's what he wants. He wants us to recognize this spirit. And I'm telling you, it's subtle. It's subtle enough that they will not realize it. You will not realize it. I will not realize it until you have died. And then it's too late. And you know what? The enemy's just as satisfied with that. If I can get them to where they don't feel anything anymore, they come to Monarch and say, that was a good monarch, but they didn't improve. Do you know from monarch to monarch or from any meeting, it should be an upward progression. We should be able to see each other closer to the Lord next year than we are right now. That's the way it is. It's upward, onward, upward. That's the way the Lord progresses his people, and I'm thankful for it. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Another thing. The 12th chapter and the 6th verse. Well, maybe the 5th verse. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son. Did you hear that? You've forgotten the exhortation. You've forgotten the message. So we want to get it to you again. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. All right, a characteristic is they despise chastening. They don't want to hear it from the pulpit. They don't want to hear it from the people of God, and they sure don't want to hear it from you. So anyway, they despise chastening. Why do they despise it? Because they know it all. And that's a very scary place to be. I'm learning to be scared when I don't feel the chastening of the Lord. I've asked the Lord, chasten me. I want to know that I'm your child. And he does. And I'm thankful for that. And that's the heart that the Lord wants. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. If you no longer desire chastenings, or ask for chastenings, or feel chastenings of the Lord, beware. The enemy is already glazing your eyes. He's already building a hedge around you that will take you into eternity to where you don't want to go. And there's no hope there. There's no hope. They despise the chastenings. But ye, if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now that's pretty strong words, isn't it? But that's just where it's at. You cannot be my son. And do you know what? We're not all perfect. We're getting there. But the Lord's saying, I'm wanting to perfect you. Do you know a diamond in a rough takes cuts to expose the facets and the fire within it? When the Lord chastens you, that's what he's doing. He's putting another facet, a little tiny one. But cuts are not hard. They're hard to bear. They're not easy. We don't like them. But you know what? It's to beautify us in his spirit. It's to draw us closer to him. It's to help us gain eternal life. Isn't that precious? That the Lord loves us that much. That I will chasten you. Because I want you better than before. And I'm so thankful for that. Another characteristic. If you go with me to James. James just had a lot. Brother James had a lot of exposure of the enemy. If you'll read through his entire book. There are just a lot of things that he was seeing there. And he would rebuke that. And I gained courage from it. Because I realized that the Lord's still dealing with us in the same spirit of love today. I appreciate that. James, the second chapter. And the second verse. There's something else that happens. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Characteristic of the way that seemeth right. There is a respect of persons. A favorite. I can't wait until so-and-so preaches. I'm going to listen in on their service. Well, what about the other ones? If it's a Holy Spirit-filled pulpit, it doesn't matter who the servant is. So when you come to meeting, are you looking for to respect a person? And ministers, in a way, get lifted up. Even though I will tell you, in the heart of a minister is, all we are waiters and waitresses. That's all we are. If you ever seen one that's effective, they're running back and forth. Can I get you more water? What can I do for you? Lord, I want you to make heaven. What can I do for you? That's all we are. We're servants. We're servants that just have to work a little harder than the rest of you. I guess that's how it is. But do you know what? They're not to be lifted up. I can't wait. You know what? When the Spirit of the Lord fills the pulpit, our hearts should be open. Our hearts are open to say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. And I have received great blessing from people that I did not know what kind of message they would deliver. But do you know, it was a blessing to my heart. And it touched something within me that I needed. Some people would probably even label them as boring. They might even go to sleep. But I know one time I received such a blessing because I listened. And I appreciate the ministry. I do. And our desire should be and is. I feel like I have that confidence. We're not here to lift ourselves up. We want to make it to heaven. We want you to make it too. We're not satisfied with just ourselves or just our family or just our congregation. We want all of you to make it. We want everyone to make it. But I have seen it happen. Many times it's not, you have someone enter your presence that has maybe a professional attire, an education. They just seem really spiffy. And it's almost amusing to see how people dance around them. And yet you have someone slip in that's poor, uneducated, simple in word and thought, and they're largely ignored. That's just an exposure of what the enemy wants us to do, to recognize that they're wanting us to put, the enemy wants us to put a price on people, I guess. Some are just richer than others. But you know, a true child of God looks at another soul as, are you saved? Praise the Lord. If you're not, we want you saved. You're our desire and you're our heart. It should be that way. There should be not a respect of persons. To make your contact, to make your desire, it should fit the poor as well as the wealthy. Well, they're a big giver. I'll sure cater to them. No. That should not be it at all. Have a heart for the people. When you see someone that needs the Lord, when you see someone that's coating themselves with so much of the world, recognize they have a deep need. Even when they spout off with mean and ugly and harsh things, I have found out those that spout off with something are really responding from a deep hurt. Even when I'm the object, I have learned not to take it personal. I have learned people hurt. The devil hurts and he wounds and he destroys and he don't care how he does it. But the Lord has taken those glasses off of me, so to speak, so that I could see that they indeed have a hurt, a deep wound. And when they respond to me, sometimes it's in those short words, in those mean words. But it's just merely that they're hungering for something. Lord, I take that home to you, and I'm going to pray for them because they're needing something. They're needing something from you. Yeah. Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians, the second chapter and the 8th verse. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. After the traditions of men. The way that seemeth right relies a lot on history. They rely on history. Do you know why they rely on history? Because they don't have anything present. That's the seriousness. When I hear someone come off with the comment of, the church is not what it used to be, yes, I'm very wary of that person. And I pray for them. Because you know where the lack is? When you're looking around saying, well, the church used to do this, and the church used to do that. Do you know what I have found out? The reason they're having to rely on history, because there's nothing else in the present for them. There's nothing going on in here. It's dead. And that's the enemy. If you find yourself feeling like a disappointment, maybe, church isn't what it used to be, examine yourself. What is the church made up of? Children of God. Brother Clifford said, if you're finding a lack in the church, you better look to yourself first. That's a hard place to be. That's hard to acknowledge. You know, what kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? How many souls would be saved today if it all depended on what I say? How many prayers would my Lord have to answer if all of the prayers came from me? Tell me, what kind of church would my church be if every member was just like me? That's a very sobering thought, but that's where it's at. You know, what we have described here Do you remember Jesus called them whited sepulchers? Do you know who they were? What was their names? Scribes and Pharisees. They were there then. That spirit is here now. You look at that. Scribes and a Pharisee. They could follow an example to a T. But the Lord called them a whited sepulcher. You're full of dead men's bones. There's nothing alive in you. You're so interested in following an example and making it hard for everybody else to follow, because that's what your desire is. You're not interested in souls. You're just wanting to cast them down. You just want to break them apart. Make them feel unloved. They had no convictions. There's no convictions in a Pharisee or a scribe. They didn't have any. Why? Because they were always right. We have our robes and we have our phylacteries and we're just so perfect and right. And you all are just the off-scouring. That's the very spirit that the devil enters in our heart with. And he's very interested in taking you with that same thing too. Beware. Beware of the way that seemeth right. They're not teachable. How many scribes and Pharisees came to the Lord and said, well, now, I don't understand about this. Very few. I have a confidence that their salvation was for them too. But the reason they could not receive salvation is because they were not teachable. They didn't want to hear what the Lord had to say because they were already right in their own minds. That was a scribe and a Pharisee. It's not too far from. They despised the chastening. They didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. They didn't want anything for their own selves. They didn't want there to be a brokenness of spirit because I'm already right. Do you know? That spirit is still alive. And beware. Open up your heart. Am I just a hearer of the word? Or did I apply it? Am I doing it? Am I taking care of it? They have a respect of persons. Well, that was very obvious, wasn't it? They were very, you know, it said they would spread their garments. They were very interested in making a show. They would cry aloud on the street corners, pray very loud. They wanted people to see how large their phylacteries, little boxes with prayers in them, were. Oh, you see the burden that I carry. And it was all outward. And we can recognize that. But recognize that spirit is still alive and well. And that's the devil's business. And he wants to take you with him. The other one was they rely on the history. Well, you know, scribes, Pharisees, they really were interested in the traditions of men. Why did you let your disciples sit down here and eat with unclean hands? Do you know that's a tradition that we Jews have always taught? Do you know? Lord, help us not to have that spirit within us. Lord, I want to succor. I want to woo people to the Lord. I want them to live for you and find the joy that I have. It's not drudgery. It's not, yes, we do have sorrow, but the world has it too. You just got Jesus to help you. It's a blessed way. It's a precious way. I'm glad I have it. I'm glad I found it. I want you to turn with me for the final thought. Psalms 139. And 23. This is the only way for spiritual success. This is it. Psalms 139:23, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. I've thought about that little part. This is if there be. There is a wicked way. The Lord's trying to dig it out of us. He's trying to uproot it. And you know, I'm thankful the Lord doesn't overwhelm us. He does it a little at a time. Because he knows that's all we can handle. If we did it all at once, we'd be too overwhelmed. Brother Clifford said that one time. He said, Lord, I want you to show me the way you see me. This is Brother Clifford now. Brother Clifford Wilson, who is precious. And the Lord said, I can't, or you would be too overwhelmed. And that was Brother Clifford. Now, what is the Lord going to have to deal with in me? I'm so much lower than that. But I want you to know that the Lord is going to be faithful to you if you open the heart. If you open it up and say, what wicked way? What tendency is there? What is there in me that I need to root out? What conviction do I need to have to protect me? What can I do for you, Jesus? What can I give up for you, Jesus? I want that. I want to be close to you. Give me something. Search my heart. It didn't say, I searched my heart. It didn't say, the minister searched my heart. We can only give what the Lord gives us. I can't really search your heart, but the Lord can. And when he does it, he's doing it with a sweetness of spirit. I see something here that we need to work on, and together we can take care of it. That's the love of our Lord. I want that. I don't have the song, Search Me, O God, and Know My Heart. Cleanse My Heart, that song. If somebody could lead that, I would appreciate it. I've appreciated your attention this morning.